Today we go from writing books to reading them on Scribble.
Welcome to Scribble, 30 minutes of conversation, comments, and reviews on reading and writing, editing, publishing, and selling books. I'm Roald Tweet.
And I'm Don Wooten. People who read books make writing them worthwhile, and Marcia Manor is just such a reader. We'll chat with her, then Garrison Keillor in the Writer's Almanac on Scribble. Marcia Manor. Last week we talked to Tina Sims about the Andalusia Library Book Club, and she said that you were a founding member of that group.
Yes, I am.
What prompted you and the other pioneers to do this?
It was my husband had died in September, and I was kind of at loose ends and wanted to be connected with other people. So I had been active with the library, and I knew that there were some people who were interested in the book club, so I decided that I would start one. Mm-hmm. And we have been going for 16 years now.
My goodness. Yeah, that's really something.
What makes books such a good thing to get people together rather than, let's say, the crochet club or...
Because we can gossip about the people that we read about, and we don't have to be talking about our neighbors.
Marcia, what is it that started you on reading?
My mother used to read to us when we were little kids. And, of course, once you're old enough to read on your own, it was a good way to escape, I guess. I come from a family of six kids, so if you had a book, you could kind of go away, and maybe you wouldn't have to do that chore because she didn't see you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, at what age did you start reading?
Oh, probably at 10 when mm-hmm. I would have my own library books that I would read.
Mm-hmm. Do you think you've been a teacher, right, Marcia?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Do you think you can turn someone into being a reader, or are readers like poets born, not made?
You can turn them into readers if you can get them to read the right book. And I taught fifth grade for the longest amount of time. I taught first grade and fourth grade for each time for 1 year, and then I taught fifth grade after that. And you could almost tell when it was a turning point for a student when they had read a book that they really liked, because they would come and talk to you about it and be excited about it. So you always were like, oh, I hope I can help somebody else find a book that really turns them on to reading.
So how did you go about helping students do that?
Well, by listening to the other kids of what books that they had read that they liked, and trying to talk to the student to find out what kind of things they were interested in, if they wanted to read about space or if there was pioneers or, you know, what kind of a subject they thought they would like.
But what about the books? Weren't there special books that you were supposed to read in the fifth grade? How much latitude did you have for this?
Well, at the time I was teaching, we didn't have AR books, so the kids could pick up whatever kind of book they wanted.
I see. That makes it rather interesting, because then you are not... Then you don't have a book club in your class with everybody reading the same book.
Right. And you didn't have to have, like, you weren't forced to read and get so many points by such and such a time. Mm-hmm. This you could read because you wanted to read. And I think that was easier to get kids interested. You just had to make sure everybody had a book. And I always had a certain time in my classroom where it was a library reading time, so I could tell whether everybody had a book that they were reading.
That is interesting, because I'm trying to think now. Of course, when I go back to the fifth grade, that means delving into ancient history. And I honestly can't remember how it worked. I know in high school we all had to read the same stuff. But in grade school, I just flat don't remember. Do you?
Oh, I do, yeah. I got really hooked on Dr. Doolittle, who is apparently politically incorrect these days, but I just loved the Dr. Doolittle books.
Well, was that, did you have things you were assigned to read in school?
Oh, I think we had a reader. That, I mean, Scott Forsman I am sort of a Scott Forsman trained person because every textbook we had all the way through was Scott Forsman. So if it was in Scott Forsman, you know, or if the library book, I mean, if the class book wasn't so old, the pages were missing and I, you know, missed out on this or that novel. But Marcia, do you remember the first book that for you really made a difference?
Not as a child, I don't. But I did read a book that was published in 1981, and it was called Follow the River. And that made a really big impact. It was probably the only book I've ever read where I felt like I was the main character. And I think part of that was she was a housewife, a pioneer housewife, and she was abducted by Indians and taken away from her family. And a lot of the men and other people in the little settlement had been massacred. And so she tried to pay close attention on the horseback that she was, made to ride so that she could get back home. Well, several years went by, and she finally had figured out when would be a good time for her to escape, and it meant that she had to leave her youngest son with the Indians, and he was young enough that he loved being with the other young braves, so he didn't really care. So she finally was able to sneak away, but she had to follow the river to get back home, and she couldn't swim. And I can't swim either. So every time she would get to a place where she thought she needed to cross, because that's where the horses had crossed, she couldn't do it because it would be too deep. So she would have to find another way and had to walk miles and miles out of the way to get back across where she needed to be. And she does finally make it home, and it's based on a true story. But it was one that I just really felt a part of that character.
Isn't that interesting? When a book enters into you like that, or you enter into the book, and you become one, there are books like that that can transform you. And that is the magic of reading. You know, nowadays, when we have all these electronic things going on, I think you've really got to read. There's a special way of knowing and feeling that only comes through reading. And I think even the intrusion of a Kindle or a Nook or the rest of those things gets in the way. A book is something you physically possess, and then it possesses you. That is when reading becomes magic.
Do you do Kindle?
I had one, but I didn't like it.
No,
I want the book.
I've got a hold. Yeah,
I want the book.
We are old fuddy duddies.
Well, nothing wrong with being an old fuddy duddy. I'll tell you.
How do you go about picking the next book that you're going to read? Do you read reviews or just walk through a bookstore? And
well, when I started the book club, because I'm an avid reader, I always keep track of what books I read, and I write them down. And then the ones that I think are really good that I would really like to share with someone else, I put a star by them. So then when we go for our book meeting, I always try to have one or two of those that I would suggest, and I try to ask them, the book club members, if they have a book that they would like to suggest.
This sounds as if you'd read an awful lot of books.
Yes, I do.
How many do you put
I try to read at least a book a week.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. And sometimes more, depending.
Is it all fiction?
Most of it, yes.
Mm-hmm.
Most of it. I like historical fiction, and I like any book that has social issues. I just read the Jodi Picoult new book, Small Great Things, I believe is the name of it. And it deals with an African-American nurse and a white supremacist. And I think she always does a very good job because she really shows both sides of the story.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not like I'm just rooting for him and he's a bad guy. I mean, you really kind of get both sides, but in the end, you make up your mind which one you would want to be.
It reminds me of a priest friend of mine. We were talking about, you know, people, good people and bad people and serving them. He says, I think our mission is to save the slave and to save the slave master. You've got to save both, not just one or the other. And I thought, that's right. That's exactly right. All people, no matter how bitterly they divide and how extreme their views and so on, somehow you have to find the common ground. You have to understand.
And I think books help you to understand kinds of people and different cultures. That's why it's important to read, mm-hmm. because you get to be exposed to people and their beliefs that maybe you haven't run into in your own ordinary life.
Mm-hmm.
But you get to see a side of that that helps you to understand some of it.
What do you say to the people that don't read books, who say, you know, taking a drink of water is always going to be superior to reading about taking a drink of water? reading is just secondhand life.
I think that people who do not pick up a book and read are missing out on a fantastic opportunity to understand life.
I think that's well put. And different authors will give you different slants on life. And, you know, fictional stories aren't fiction in a way. I don't think there's an author alive who doesn't dredge up stuff from his or her own life as a seed for what's going to grow into a novel.
I agree with that.
Mm-hmm. So you know, we talk about reading all the time, but until you experience it, until you get into it, and make a connection, it's important because some books, I pick up a book and I think, oh, yeah, and then put it down because we're not going anywhere with this.
Mm-hmm.
But if you find a book with which you can make a real connection, yeah, that enlarges you in so many important ways.
And that kind of book will be the one that you don't want to put down. You're kind of like, I'll do that laundry tomorrow because I want to finish this today while I'm wrapped up in it.
Yeah. Do you read your books in one stretch?
No, I'm off and on.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
I remember talking to Faye Clough one time. We were over at her home, and I asked about her reading, and she pointed to the table by her bed, and there were five books there. And she was going through them bit by bit, you know, just moving from one to the other. And I thought, I can't do that.
Oh, I can't do that either.
No.
I want one book. I want to complete it.
Yeah.
Now, Tina and I were talking. There was a time if I started a book, I finished it whether I liked it or not. I don't do that anymore.
Well,
life is too short.
That's right.
There's too many good books to read.
Yeah, so, well, there are too many books, period. How do you make choices? Roald asked if you read reviews or something. How do you make a decision on a book?
I read the inside flap that gives a little short version of the book and see if that appeals to me.
Mm-hmm.
And then I do have a few authors that I see they have a new book. I'll look, oh, yeah, I want to read that one too.
Do you have a favorite author or two?
I don't have a favorite, no.
Are you library dependent? I mean, do you only?
Oh, I have books of my own too, uh-huh. Yes. But I can get most of my books. And because of the interlibrary loans, if we don't carry it, I can say to our librarian, can you order this book for me? Because I really want it. And she'll say, yes, I'll see if I can get it for you. And it only takes maybe 3 days for it to come.
Yeah.
So that works.
But
I always have a book.
Uh-huh.
I would rarely ever will you catch me without a book or two waiting for me to read. I always try to keep them stacked up a little bit.
Has it been this way all your life, or is this something when you were kind of left alone?
It was probably most of my adult life.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't read as much when I was teaching because I didn't have the time. But come summer, I always had a stack of books that I was ready to read.
Did you set objectives for yourself, thinking, put this book aside, I'm going to read this summer?
Yes. Uh-huh. Yes. Of course, if we had a little vacation time, then I would read. But I couldn't read when I was teaching because I would stay up too late.
Yeah. Do you have any particular genres that you prefer? You know, go into a bookstore and you see mystery, true crime, romance, biography, and so on. Is there one particular genre that pulls you, or is it just general fiction?
The historical fiction. I like all that. Anything to do with the Civil War, I like that.
Uh-huh.
And then the social.
Do you read mysteries at all or not?
I read them once in a while, and I kind of like them, but I'm not hooked on them. But we have in our book club, there was one gal that is our member that all she read was mysteries. She no longer just reads mysteries. She has branched out and has learned to like other books.
Well, the nice thing about mysteries is you can dispatch them in one evening.
Right.
And, you know, it's sort of like popcorn or something.
Yeah.
Come to think of it, popcorn with a mystery book is pretty good.
Yeah.
Well, Marcia, I must say, I am very happy to have had a chance to talk to you, an avid reader, and you certainly are, and you another member of that, founding member of the Andalusia Library Book Club. So you have not only enriched your own life, but you helped enrich others.
Well, thank you.
And that's something I think all of us wish we could say. Okay, Marcia Manner has been our guest today, an avid reader. And we have next a guy who's avid about all things to do with writing, including poetry, just for role's sake. So let's go now to Garrison Keillor. Support for Writer's Almanac on WVIK comes from the Mississippi Valley Regional Blood Center, working together with volunteer donors to provide blood products and services to hospitals throughout the region. Information at bloodcenter.org. Really interesting to talk to readers. You know, we talk so often to authors.
Right.
And but readers, I mean, that's the end product, really.
Well, there would be no authors if there weren't readers, right?
That's true.
Not for very long, anyway.
Yeah, it's fascinating also to see the enthusiasm that Marcia exhibited. She really loves books.
Well, she's been a teacher her whole life and an avid reader. I disagree with her a little. I think there are some people that are just born readers. I mean, they're reading as soon as they learn how to read.
Well, you just never give up on your ideas.
I don't. On the other hand, it's nice to hear a teacher say you can really turn kids on to reading.
Yeah.
Right? Because that is one hard task, and it doesn't always work.
If you do that, then you have given a student the means for almost everything in life. If you can read, and you develop a facility, and there is as much facility and creativity in reading as there is in writing. Because I know sometimes when I write things and I hear from people, I think, I better go back and look at that because I don't remember meaning that
right.
or saying
right.
that.
Right, right.
But it is a very creative process. Well, what kind of books are you going to suggest for
people? Well, I'm going to suggest a very strange book.
Is that unusual?
By a group who is very familiar to most listeners. I'm assuming that most people who listen to this program are fans either of C.S. Lewis or R.R. Tolkien, Lord of the Rings and Screwtape Letters.
You got one here.
And you know enough about them to know that they were part of a small group called the Inklings.
Mm-hmm.
The other two Inklings are much less read, Charles Williams and Owen Barfield. Owen Barfield is a demanding writer, and if you want to read Owen Barfield and have questions about him, I'm not the person to ask, but Don Erickson, who's frequently a recommender of books on this program, is the one to go to. He is a huge Owen Barfield fan. I, on the other hand, am a Charles Williams fan. The reason Charles Williams isn't nearly as well known as Lewis or Tolkien is that he is a much stranger writer than they are.
Oh, yeah.
The Inklings agree, I think, in the existence of a world beyond this world of our senses. But for Williams, the gulf or the veil between this world and the other world simply doesn't exist. And so he is a much more mystical and spiritual writer, and his style even shows it. I would like to recommend a book that I just picked up. I haven't read it for years, but I picked it up and read it again last week, called The Greater Trumps. The Greater Trumps refers to those designs in the tarot deck, the cards that have pictures on them. And the premise of this particular book, The Greater Trumps, is that in an English estate in England, the typical English estate of the typical English mystery story, Agatha Christie and others, is that the owner of the estate is in fact a necromancer, and he wants to get his hands on a tarot deck that go back to ancient Egypt and that are owned by an unsuspecting young woman who's inherited them from a relative. This tarot deck has power, and should this guy get a hold of the complete set of the tarot deck, he will be able to control the world and unleash all the powers of the universe that he wants to. And so he entices the young girl who owns the tarot deck through his nephew, who is attracted to the girl, to bring them to the estate for a week. Mm-hmm. And she brings along with her the tarot deck. And the whole thing is a struggle for him to get a hold of the greater trumps in this tarot deck and thus be able to control the world. It is a very strange read.
It sounds like it's rolled.
But Charles Williams was one of the Inklings, and I think if you want to know about the Inklings, you need to read Charles Williams and then Owen Barfield.
I think there's a new biography out about Williams, isn't there?
There's a new biography called The Inklings about all uh-huh. four of them. I'm not sure about the Charles Williams one.
That must have been an interesting group to be in.
They got together once a month and talked over things and shared ideas. And
sort of like an Oxford book club, wasn't it?
Well, it was, yeah.
Yeah, but one in which writers got together and read their works to each other.
Yes.
Boy, that...
And influenced each other.
That's true, they did. They had a profound influence on each other. And they weren't slow to criticize each other.
No.
Okay, thank you very much, Roald. And we want to thank you for tuning in. We'll be back next week and hope you'll join us for another section on Scribble.